Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I didn't know that the choir was going to sing Cohen's Hallelujah until I came in this morning and they were rehearsing. Many of you know that it's a song that I particularly enjoy. I've played it here in worship before. And one of the things that I love about that particular song is that it's a song that I think highlights a sense of vulnerability and heartbreak. One particular lyric about... I think it's in the last verse. And even though it all went wrong, I stand before the Lord of song and say hallelujah. To have the courage to be that vulnerable and yet still be able to say hallelujah, I think is amazing. Now, if you remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. What does hallelujah mean? It's praise God. God be praised. What an amazing and courageous thing. In the middle of that vulnerability, in the middle of that spiritual brokenness, to be able to say, praise God. It's a strength that, frankly, I don't think a lot of us have. I'm not sure that I have it. The emotionally strongest, the strongest person emotionally I think I've probably ever known is my maternal grandmother, who, in the midst of all of her wonderful life, outlived three husbands. I talk about heartbreak. And yet she was a woman who just had this energy and zest for life. She was always this fun and funny and energetic and compassionate and amazing human being. And think for a second. Have you known people who are like that? Who, even if they have endured tragedy in their lives, maybe several times over, they've been that kind of person who they just embody joyful peace and goodness. It's amazing. I feel like I struggle a little more with that sometimes. I don't feel like I'm as good at that as my grandmother was. Maybe you feel that way too, and maybe you don't. We're a pretty diverse crowd, that's all right. I had a particularly difficult and also wonderful experience, like one of those experiences that's hard and fills you with joy all at the same time. And I think that throughout my life I'll remember this. When I was asked a question by an 8-year-old member of this particular congregation, she came to me, her family was going through a number of difficult things, and she came to me and she said, Pastor Bob, why did God make cancer? Like, break your heart. And I like to think that I had a meaningful conversation with her. I like to think that she finished that conversation feeling a little bit better. But I got to tell you, there's not an easy answer to that question. There's just not. To hear an 8-year-old ask that question, to ask a pastor, I've talked about this with some of you before, like, I've got my own baggage around cancer. I think that name baggage is authentic. Like, because I've had a small health thing where I've got a really minor skin cancer, and that's all done, is why my hair is lost on this side. Like, but I've got this emotional journey that's totally different than the physical journey, right? So I've got my baggage, and I've been carrying this baggage for a long time. And so to have an 8-year-old ask me, Pastor Bob, why did God make cancer? Holy moly. But I wonder if we have asked similar questions, and I wonder if it's a right and natural thing. That whenever it is that we've experienced something tragic, something dark, something scary in our lives, that we ask the question, why? And this is part of the not easy part of our faith. Because we who might feel drawn into a life of faith, who are we going to ask that question? We might ask each other, and very often we're also going to ask God, God, why do you let bad stuff happen? And I submit to you that whether we're an 8-year-old or whether we're a 30-something or 40-something or 60-something-year-old, there's not an easy answer. In fact, I would even submit that there are as many answers to that question as there are people who ask it. Now, some of them we can sort of wrap up in a little bit of generalities. Very often bad things happen because we do them. Very often bad things happen because humans do some not smart things. If it's someone who's texting while they're driving and they cause a car accident that brings tragedy even to either to their own life or to someone else's. Not something somebody does on purpose, it's an accident. But it's an accident that results out of a poor choice. When it's someone who, for any number of possible reasons, takes a collection of firearms onto a school campus. When it's someone who straps explosives to their bodies and goes into a public arena. These are things that are tragic. And where we can look at someone and say, that person made a decision. Now, even in all those circumstances, there are lots of things to talk about, whether it's mental illness or poor teaching or a poor childhood or any number of possibilities. The reality is, tragedy has still taken place. Now, sometimes it's not a human thing. It's not a human choice. Sometimes it's a natural thing. Or we ask about storms or various other natural things that have happened. You know, I believe that God created a world that continues to be in motion. We might think about the crust of the earth that sort of floats along this layer of molten rock, and as it continues to move, these tectonic plates shift and rub up against each other and cause earthquakes. The same motion that shifts these tectonic plates against each other, keeps this world sustainable so that it can support life. We might think about weather patterns and cold fronts and warm fronts coming up against each other and the way the moisture in the air evaporates out of these vast oceans and puts, you know, moisture in the air, and then these areas meet, and then there's rain and this life-giving rain that makes us able to have rivers to drink from, and plants will grow and grow fruit for us to eat. But these same cold fronts and warm fronts coming together can also cause tornadoes. God creates this world that's still in motion. And there are some really difficult things that come out of that. And there are some really life-giving things that come out of that. Sometimes I ask myself, do we have to take the bad with the good? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to why people strap explosives to themselves and go into markets. I don't know the answer to why somebody will prioritize a text message over paying attention to traffic. I do think that God gives us the opportunity to make our own choices, and that God gives us the responsibility of our choices. And none of it's easy. But I wonder if from this question, why does God let bad stuff happen? I wonder if we might shift and take a more focused approach to the question, where is God when these things happen? I wonder if that might be a more helpful question. Because frankly, I don't know if there's going to be an answer to the why. But maybe if we take this time to ask, where is God when bad things happen? That might be a question where we can come to at least a deeper sense of where God might be, about how God might interact with the world, about how God is a sustainer in those difficult times. I've told this story before. In fact, I really preached a whole sermon telling in part my own experience of a woman who welcomed me and Beth into her home on a number of Christmas dinners. We continue to be very close to her daughters, but a woman who had someone come into her home and kill her. And my own emotional grief, but my questions, where was God when my friend was murdered? I'll never forget the day I found out that she'd been killed. We were living in Nebraska at the time. We had a trip planned to California, but we moved up our plans quite a bit sooner. And as we pulled in front of our friend's house and walked up the driveway, our friend coming out of the house, before she hugged me and cried, before she did that, she looked at me and she said, "How do you do it?" She was asking because she knows that I lost my mom to cancer years and years before. But she saw this sense of connection as one who had lost her parent in a tragic way. And I wonder if any of us, when we've been on a journey of grief, have connected with someone because they've had a similar experience, a similar journey. Not the same. I'm not sure any of them are the same. But I wonder how many of us have had that particular connection because someone has experienced something similar. And this is what I'd like us to focus on a little bit today. I'd like to invite Hope to read a scripture. It's a scripture that very often we wouldn't read until Good Friday. But we're going to read this scripture today because I think it might have some teaching for us.
It was customary during the festival for the governor to release to the crowd one prisoner, whomever they might choose. At that time, there was a well-known prisoner named Jesus Barabbas. When the crowd had come together, Pilate asked them, "Whom would you like me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" He knew that the leaders of the people had handed him over because of jealousy. While he was serving as judge, his wife sent this message to him, "Leave that righteous man alone. I've suffered much today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and kill Jesus. The governor said, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" "Barabbas," they replied. Pilate said, "Then what should I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." But he said, "Why? What wrong has he done?" They shouted even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was starting. So he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I'm innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It's your problem." And all the people replied, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus whipped, then handed him over to be crucified. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's house, and they gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a red military coat on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a stick in his right hand. Then they bowed down in front of him and mocked him, saying, "Hey, King of the Jews!" After they spit on him, they took the stick and struck his head again and again. When they finished mocking him, they stripped him of the military coat and put his own clothes back on him. They led him away to crucify him.
There's a quote from a Disney movie. You may remember the wisdom of the forgetful fish, Dory, who, as she helps someone find his lost son, hears him express his grief. And he says at one point, he says, "I promised I'd never let anything happen to him." She says, "Well, that's a funny thing to promise." He says, "What?" She says, "Well, you can't never let anything happen to him. Then nothing had ever happened to him. Not much fun for little Harpo." That's what she calls Nemo. That time. I believe that God calls us to participate in the world, to live in the world, as hard as it may be. I believe in a God that is all-powerful, that I suppose if God could reach out, I suppose if God chose to, could reach out God's almighty hand and fix all the stuff that we find tragic. But if God never let anything happen to us, then nothing had ever happened to us. Not much fun for us little harpos. I have talked about some of the tragedies in my own life, and I submit that we each have our stories of tragedies. But I have had experiences of great and amazing joy. And I sort of suspect that all of us who are gathered here have had those experiences of great and amazing joy. And I wonder if those amazing experiences of joy would be what they are if we hadn't experienced tragedy as well. I'm not trying to say that tragedy and difficulty and death and grief are good things. I'm saying that they help us to feel more alive with the great things. As a pastor, I have had an opportunity, I would say a privilege, to be with a number of people in moments of grief. I remember one particular time sitting with a woman who was just absolutely crying her eyes out because her daughter had committed suicide. I remember her asking the same questions that we're talking about. Why? I would submit that I, as her pastor, had a whole lot less to do with the strength that she showed in moving through that than God's presence and strength and light and hope. Now, I like to think that I had a small part in participating in God's work and that it was God's work. And maybe you've seen people, experience people, God's presence in them as they help you through something. I remember sitting with a family in their home. I'd visited much with them over quite a period of time, as the matriarch of this family had been battling cancer. And as we all sat together in prayer together, like in that moment of prayer, this matriarch took her last breath. This beautiful family was overcome with grief and tears. And yet I think that it was God's presence who continues to guide this family into seeking out God's light and God's hope. And sometimes I wonder if we might remember that God can especially connect with us in these times because God too has experienced grief. We hear this story of God's Son condemned, tortured, executed. And we might see the opportunity to connect especially with God in our grief because God has experienced grief too. We might find an opportunity to connect directly to Christ because Christ asks the same questions that we have asked. In several of the Gospels, Jesus says, "Why?" I heard a story recently about a parent who lost his teenage son to tragedy. And he was overcome with grief. Now, the way dinner worked out in that particular house is he would sit directly opposite his son's seat. And so after the loss of his son, every meal that they shared together as a family, he would look and see this empty seat, a continual reminder of the loss of his son. And he was overwhelmed. So he went out, and he brought He brought a crucifix. Now, we in the Protestant tradition generally have an empty cross. Our Catholic siblings very often in those sanctuaries will have a crucifix, a cross with Jesus still hanging. So this man went and he bought a crucifix and he hung it on the wall directly behind the empty seat. So that every time he sat down at that table and looked across that empty seat, he saw this cross with a figure still on it. And he found hope in the idea that God journeys with him, that God has experienced his grief, and that God could guide him through the same journey. My friends, none of us are going to make it through life without tragedy, without grief, without that kind of aching brokenness that we can't even form words. And I submit to you that we might journey with a God who has experienced grief too, who knows the journey and who guides us through it. That there is room for hope, that there is room for light, that there is room for peace, that there is room for strength. There is room to praise God with our hallelujahs and our brokenness and when we've come through the other side. And we might experience some divine presence of God. We might experience God's strength through our friends and neighbors and even strangers. And as we too journey, we might experience an opportunity to give our strength and our history and our baggage to others who journey too. My friends, this is not easy. And there's hope, and there's light, and there can be peace. Let's join in a time of prayer. Holy and gracious Creator, we are grateful for your guidance, for your peace, for reminding us that we are never alone, that in our challenges that you offer strength, whether we experience those strength and that strength in divine ways or through the presence of your children, we are grateful. When we experience times of joy and celebration, we know that you celebrate with us. And sometimes we experience you in a divine way, and sometimes we experience your presence of celebration through those around us. Thank you for this profound connection that draws us together and connects us when we are apart. Holy God, we bring all these things to you and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.